Okay, so I think y'all all have your outline, and some of it is review, and then we're I touched on a few things, and now sorry, Miss Eileen, I didn't see you. I would have grabbed it for you. And a little bit of review. I touched on a few things, and now we're going to focus a little more. So, of course, at the top of it, the second commandment, I just quote the commandment here. You shall not make for yourself a carved image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God. And we talked last week. I tried to summarize the teaching there of the commandment and of the catechism. We must not worship God with images of any kind. And then secondly, and you might say this is more of a principle that flows out of the command, and we see this in taught in various ways, and we'll spend more time on this later. We must not worship God in any way that is not established in His Word, or to put it positively, we only worship God the way He tells us to. We only worship God the way He tells us to. And we'll get to that more. Of course, we know because of the proneness of sin, our proneness to not do what God tells us to do. And so when it even comes to worship, our sinful tendency is to say, well, yeah, God, we want to worship you, but we have a better idea. Why don't we do it this way? And that's not a contemporary problem. It is a contemporary problem, but that's an age-old problem. So that even after God miraculously, powerfully brings His people out of Egypt, and Moses stays, as far as the people are concerned, too long up on the mountain, they go to Aaron and say, hey, this guy, we don't know what happened to us. You know, we need some gods to worship. And of course, they make the golden calf. And Aaron calls it a feast of Yahweh. And I can't remember if we touched on it last week. Aaron's famous words, well, you know this is a stubborn people. I just threw the jewelry in the pot and out came this calf. I don't know what happened. But, you know, we could maybe rank Aaron up there with Peter in terms of dumb statements. But so that is something that you see. It's not only pagans that worship false gods falsely. Of course, I don't think there's a way you can worship a false god truly. But worshiping false gods, non-gods, idols. But then there's the issue. And again, the first commandment, you shall have no other gods, that clearly means we only worship the true God. And then here, the second commandment emphasizes, we only worship God the way He instructs us to. We don't create images to worshiping that way, or even to assist us in worship. Now, it leads to a question. And so I just laid it out here the simplest way I knew how. And what I want to try to do, so the question is, what about pictures of Jesus? And I asked this question and addressed this in fear and trembling. Because this is one of those issues, not maybe for many of you, but maybe for some of you, this could be an emotional issue. It could be an upsetting issue. And so I don't want to take light of that. I think, when I talk about two views here, I'm not talking about in the world. I'm talking about in our little circle of Presbyterianism and really within the PCA. Okay? And that's really my focus. And I think it's, so when I say pictures, what am I thinking of? I'm thinking of anything from nativity scenes at Christmas time, to maybe some picture of Jesus that you have on your wall at home. Maybe you have it there not because it was something that was really, you were particularly fond of. Maybe a relative had it and gave it to you. I don't know. On the other hand, this could be something that you're very enthusiastic about. I am not an artist myself, have never been an artist. And so I'm going to try to talk about these different views, these two views that are different, dispassionately. I don't know if I can pull that off. Never been able to do that. But okay, so here's the two views. The first view is no pictures of Jesus, none of the time. I know that's redneck lingo, but I mean no pictures, no image of any kind, type, whatever, for any reason. Okay, so that's one view. And then there would be what I would call the limited pictures of Jesus for art and Christian education purposes. Okay, now let's think about the no pictures of Jesus none of the time. Why would, and I have to say, I believe this is in fact the view of our presbytery, so I just might as well get my cards on the table. Okay, so whenever a minister goes from one presbytery to another, even though, like in my case, I've been an ordained PCA pastor for over 30 years, I still have to tell the presbytery my views. And also in the light of where their view as a presbytery may differ than mine. Now, in all the other presbyteries I had been in, to my knowledge, I don't ever remember the pictures of Jesus being an issue. But I came to understand that it was a real issue here. And I hold the second view. Of a limited pictures. I'm not no pictures none of the time. I'm some pictures with restraint and so forth qualification. But so when I came to this presbytery, I had to tell the committee that. I had to tell the presbytery that. Now what they did is they accepted my view as an exception to their understanding of the confession. Okay? So I squeaked in. I'm okay. But I want you to understand that there are presbyteries. I couldn't tell you how many of the PCA, of the, well, of the OPC, that's probably 98% of the PCA. It may be half, and I don't know. I've never heard any statistics. But what I'm doing now is kind of what we're taught to do. If you have a view, The presbytery allows you to have exceptions that are minor, basically. So this was seen as something that is a minor exception to the standard that doesn't strike at the vitals of religion. If I come into the denomination or in the presbytery and say, oh, by the way, I don't believe that God is triune, I actually think there are four persons in the Trinity. Well, see, that wouldn't jive, right? If I, that's not a serious one, so let me say something. What if somebody comes, and this can happen, somebody comes and they say, well, I believe Jesus died for everybody, not just the elect. Well, that wouldn't be acceptable. They're acceptable to preach in other churches, but not in the PCA. So even as now I tell you my exception, it is proper and right for me to tell you that in the light of what is the presbytery's view. Okay? So why would there be the view no pictures of Jesus none of the time? That to some of us might seem extreme, but come down to the larger catechism. I know you're thinking, wow, you didn't know you were going to get involved in all this controversy tonight, did you? Oh, well, I surprised you. Okay, so I'm quoting the larger catechism. I am using a modern version of it, primarily because of the archaic lingo and syntax. I'm doing that out of, hopefully, to help us. So the second commandment forbids, and it's got these different words that we don't use about idol worship, and so I just left those out. The second commandment forbids in any way approving any religious worship not established by God himself, creating any likeness of God as the Trinity or as any of his three persons, either internally in our minds or externally in the form of any kind of image or representation of a created being, any worship of such created likeness as if God were in them or as if they were a means to worship him. So the understanding is, well, when you read that language and how explicit it is, that any image of any of the three persons of the Trinity, even the Son of God who came and became fully man, and not only an external image, but an image in your mind, to have that image from this interpretation of the catechism says, that's by definition idolatry. Okay? So that's the understanding. Okay? Now, my understanding is I think we have to read the... And now, if you embrace that view, my point tonight is not to try to get you all mixed up and confused. In other words, if you have a personal conviction, you don't watch movies about Jesus, and you don't look at pictures about Jesus, I'm not trying to convince you otherwise, okay? I'm simply, for conscience sake, because I'm teaching the catechism, which includes the commandment, and because I have to take a vow like I did at Presbytery, I had to say, in good conscience, I don't believe pictures or representations of Jesus, the Son of God, who's now fully God but also fully man, that those are per se sinful, per se evil. I don't want any pictures of Jesus in the sanctuary to help people worship. I think that's pure idolatry. Okay? So, and I don't think any of us do. We're talking about things that people might have, art in their homes, art in the public square, educational things, children, Christian books, where there might be some representation of the Lord doing his earthly ministry. Not that he looks like some cool guy on Vogue magazine or some such nonsense, but something that, you know, just represents, here's Jesus feeding the 5,000. And maybe the representation of him is not anything in detail, but it's just conveying to young children in this form what's going on. Okay. The reading of the catechism, as I understand it from those that say no pictures none of the time, no images of God, not even Jesus ever, is because when they see the language here that even in our minds, We can't have such things, that's idolatry. My rejoinder is that proves too much. It goes too far. You've got to read the larger catechism and what it is saying in the light of the shorter. Notice how the shorter catechism says it right above there. The second commandment forbids our worshiping God with images or any other way. Worshiping God with images. Mm-hmm. Does it mean that there's no images of portraying Jesus in his earthly ministry? Again, I think even though I would be told, okay, you know, if you believe in any images at all, you know, that's not a biblical view. Okay, I've been told that. But I think we have to distinguish images for worship, things, anything that could be used for worship, any kind of worship aid, okay? A cross, anything could become an idol, something that you think could help you worship. We shouldn't do that, okay? And certainly not a portrait of Jesus or anything. What I'm talking about here is Separate from worship, is there art? Is there educational things that could portray Jesus in some way that would not break the second commandment? And so the Shorter Catechism answer says very clearly that it's for worship, that it forbids worshiping God with images. When you read the Larger Catechism and it says all these different things you can't do, creating any likeness of God as the Trinity or as any one of his three persons, either internally in our minds or externally in the form of any kind of image or representation of a created being. And then it has a semicolon there. I think that's in the original too. But then the next phrase is, and any worship of such things. So if you read the Larger Catechism in the light of the Shorter Catechism, what the Larger Catechism is saying is even a mental image of Christ, if you have it in your head to worship it, that would be idolatry, and I agree with that. I don't agree that mental images of Jesus per se are sinful. And here's my argument. Imagine the apostles who spent 3 years with Jesus in his earthly ministry. You tell me, how in the world could they avoid in their preaching and teaching and their life after Jesus is ascended to heaven? How could they avoid mental images of their Savior? It would be impossible. If the catechism, Larger Catechism, is read the way the no pictures of Jesus none of the time, they would say, I believe, that when that apostle had that image of Jesus in his head, that was sinful, that was idolatry. I can't buy that. I can't buy that. So, anyway. Okay. I'm going to stop here. I think this is one of those ideal Sunday nights where I open it up for questions and hopefully I won't live to regret it. Doug, you run me out of the room if things get rough, okay? Yes, Lisa.
I just thought of, this has been several years ago, the book Fall of Man, the movie. To me, that is...
Okay, so I remember the book, I don't remember the thesis. So
the movie is that a big black woman is God.
Nothing against larger scale black women, but yeah.
And an Indian is the Holy Spirit.
Oh my, they did the whole Trinity.
Can I forget who Jesus was?
Yeah. Yeah, okay.
But it was weird.
So, does everybody understand I am not promoting, I don't want Julie to go out and get a bunch of pictures of Jesus and put them in her classroom and get the kids to kneel before them. You understand that, right? Julie, okay. That I'm not an artist, I don't play one on TV, but I recognize there's a whole generation of artists around the Renaissance pre and contemporaneous with the Reformation. And while it's a historical argument, it's not a biblical argument, you don't seem to find the reformers attacking that art that I'm aware of. But anyhow, were you going to say something, Doug? I'm sorry.
Yeah, we've all been attending Sunday school downstairs and watching the images that Ray Vandalon Focus on the Family has put up.
Right.
And a lot of artwork shows the back of Jesus. They're very sensitive
to
the fact that they don't show
the face of
Jesus.
Yeah.
And I thought that was a very sensitive
way that they did it.
Yeah,
I hadn't even thought about that. Yeah. And it is a good example too. Okay, both of you hold you up. Where it's a good example of if you've got a brother, you know, you have a nativity scene in your house, but you have a friend that doesn't. I don't think you put it away if they come over to your house.
I did.
That's okay. I'm not judging you. Now, but don't do this when you show up at their house. Don't get, why don't you have a nativity scene? Okay, don't do that. You know, this is just common decency. Okay, I think Joan first, and then...
My mother did ceramics, and so she has a beautiful creation of Jesus and his eyes. It's weird when you see this, but the way they did his eyes, it's like no matter where you are in the room, it seems as if those eyes are looking at you.
That would scare me.
Okay. It is a little scary, but it's a beautiful piece.
Okay.
But I would no more think to pray to that.
Right, or to help you worship.
Or to, you know, I would say my morning or evening prayers
yeah.
in front of this statue, but
right.
it's a beautiful creation that my mother did.
You can clearly make the distinction.
Right.
Yeah.
I have it hidden away somewhere because I kept struggling with, you know,
what you should do with
it. I have it out publicly, what does that say? But all that says is that she loves ceramics and she created that.
Now,
I honor it as
something, yeah. Now, when I've read a lot of material on this, I have read where those that say no pictures of Jesus none of the time, they will say that that would be an example where a weaker brother or sister could be led away to worship. I'm not saying that's what you're trying to do to us right now. I'm saying that's what they say. And they would say, especially even children, you think you have a harmless picture in a children's Bible book, but it could lead to idolatry. I think we should be very careful about idolatry. I don't buy that argument. But, okay, Benny?
The front bedroom in the house was where I slept when I grew up.
You're talking about in your house?
Yeah.
Okay.
And my mother put up a cross over my bed with an image of Jesus on it. Now,
you're talking about the Catholic version?
Yes.
Okay.
Now, I think she had a very good reason for putting it up there. So, it's still there. I haven't paid attention to it in years because I even took the bed out of there.
Right.
But I wouldn't take it down because my mother put it up there.
It's something out of sentimental reasons. You don't have it there out of a conviction, theological conviction.
No.
It's out of sentimental
reasons. And I'm sure she had some reason for that.
Yeah. And I was raised in a Roman Catholic home. My parents were not, they didn't have a lot of icons, but you can't get away with being Catholic and not have a few icons around. And they had a few, but not a lot. So I was not engrossed in it, but some people are.
The art of the Lord's Supper.
Yeah.
I mean, that's something that I would paint
him. Mm-hmm. The no pictures of Jesus none of the time would say you don't look at that.
Yeah.
And again, I'm not, I want to be sensitive here. I'm not very good at that. That if your conscience, if that's your view, then you shouldn't look at it. Mm-hmm. You know, because you think it would naturally lead to idolatry. And that the fact that it was made is idolatrous. Now again, I'm reading between the lines here again. I was going to tell Doug, you're not going to believe what I'm going to do tonight. And I said, nah, he'll find out. So, at least if I get in trouble, you know, Doug can go to the people at Presbyterian and say, oh, I told him to keep his mouth shut. Anyway, you know, I'm 61. If I can't pull this off now. But it is also a good example of, you see, I hopefully am showing you an example of I'm supposed to respect my brothers in my presbytery that have a different view than I do, and that's the presbytery's view, and I have to submit to them. Now, they thankfully, I got in, you know? So, that was never in jeopardy, but when you're going from one presbytery to the other, you always wonder. Now, I thought I saw somebody else's hand over here. Did I? Fred, did you have something or no?
Well, I just wanted to, there's a series that's on the internet.
The Chosen?
Yes. And I've had people say, you know, you really need to watch that. It's so well done.
No.
So this, so that. Mm-hmm. But I look at a little bit of it, and I see how Jesus is a good old boy. He's just a regular guy.
Yeah.
I see that, and I think to myself, wait a minute, this is Hollywood.
Yeah.
And portraying Jesus. There's even a
Well, now you got a Jesus app, and the guy that does commercials for that, he's really cool too.
That's the guy from Chosen.
Oh, is it the same guy? Oh my goodness.
And he was on The View.
Good old Whoopi.
Boy, they couldn't separate that he wasn't really Jesus.
Yeah.
Oh, good.
That's really scary.
You used to be a nun, right?
All right. So yeah. But this is we're not encouraging you to write The Chosen. Oh, go ahead, Fred. Finish up, brother.
And he was the person that portrayed Christ was interviewed on some show. I don't know what it was. But he told of all the things that were negative, things that happened to him in his life because he took that job and did that. And it was quite a trip listening to what he has been going through, you know. And I don't think that he was a Christian.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if he is or not, but they're trying real hard for people to watch that, see?
Yeah. Well, and the whole thesis of The Chosen is not to give you the message of the Bible, but the backstory.
Yeah.
It rarely gives, when I watched part of the first season, maybe three episodes, because I had a guy in my church in Picayune just, oh, this is so cool. So I watched about three episodes. It didn't do anything for me. I mean, Matthew's this weirdo that walks around with like five pairs of sandals because he's like a germaphobe. You know, that's really clear. It's really clear in the scriptures that Matthew, the tax collector, is a germaphobe. I don't know why I didn't see it. Marianne, you look like you want to say something, my dear.
Not that I believe that either about pictures.
Yeah, we're really concerned about you, Marianne.
In Scripture, there are a few places that show the Holy Spirit come in a duck like a dove.
Mm-hmm.
And what else?
Yes.
I don't think that that's what he looks like. Do you know what I'm saying?
But now, see, that's good, though, that you say that. So obviously, in the Gospel account, God tells John the Baptist that he will see the Holy Spirit come upon Jesus like a dove. Now, again, I want to be careful not to be... does that mean, according to the No Pictures of Jesus, None of the Time view, that you couldn't, if you drew a dove that was representing the dove of the Holy Spirit in the baptism of Jesus... I think from their view, that would be wrong. Now, you shouldn't critique a view just by showing its absurdity, but I do think that would be consistent with here. You would be doing that. So I hope that I haven't said anything to offend you. If I have, please let me know. Again, I think we all agree that we should not worship God except as he tells us to,
right,
through Christ, by the power of the Holy Spirit, not with any visible representations to assist us. Separate issue, is there a genuine place in terms of art and Christian education? I think there is, but you don't have to agree with that. Oh, Brenda, you had your turn. I'm kidding. Brenda.
Is that what you're saying in the movie, The Passion, which shows a lot of people, I think, were impressed, but they didn't realize what Jesus meant.
Right.
And that brought reality, but I don't think it made them worship.
No, so The Passion of Christ, I did see that movie. I don't mind admitting that. I thought it was well done. The thing that I want to say about The Passion was when it came out, my girls were in high school, or maybe Christy was in college. Christy's my middle one that lives in New York. Christy went with her girlfriends, I think from the Episcopal school. It was an Episcopal school, it's a private school. It was a pagan school that had a religious name, but there was no real serious religion taught there. But what my high school daughter noted, when she watched The Passion, and it was very vivid, it was very violent, and they were trying to portray what was involved in a, when you, somebody gets the 39 lashes, and what was all involved in the cross, my Christy said, you know, Dad, the girls, they got all emotional, got upset, they had never understood what the cross was. She said, I've known that all my life. Yeah, because she heard me preach it. And I think she was saying that. I'm not saying I had to tell her, yeah, it's because you had a good dad preaching gospel. But I'm saying, because she was taught the gospel, what she saw on the screen didn't surprise her. I thought that was interesting. Okay, I don't want to end this prematurely. Yes, ma'am. Yeah, no, I think the cross we have is obviously the most basic Christian symbol.
It's empty.
Yeah, it's an empty cross. It's not a
crucifix.
What's the name for
crucifix?
Crucifix. Yeah, yeah. So no, it's not that at all. It's just a simple cross.
That no, none. Almost sounds like a double negative.
Yeah, I would
think of a double negative becomes positive. So I think the wording could have been a little bit.
Yeah, that was maybe tongue in cheek. What I was trying to convey there for the there's one view that says absolutely no images at all of
like
Christ or any person of the Trinity. And then the other view is, apart from worship, in the context of art or education, done properly, let's say. All right, well, why don't we stand and we'll close in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for your clear commands on how we ought to worship you through Christ and his death on the cross, and there is no need for any, quote, worship aids. We know because of our sinful nature, our sinful tendency, we are prone to be idol worshipers and even use idolatrous things. But Father, may our worship here at Fairfield Church be biblical and be honoring to you through Christ. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.